John 9, verses 1 to 11. As Jesus went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus. "But this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I'm in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said this, he spat on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbours and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." "How then were your eyes opened?" they demanded. He replied, "The man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed. And then I could see."
Right, first I need to say that it should be Alistair Longwell speaking today. Unfortunately, his father's not well and he's had to travel up to Scotland. So on your behalf, I have emailed him and said we are praying for him and his family. Let's do that now. Father, we pray for Alistair. We pray that both he and all his family would know your presence with him. And Father, we pray that there will be a real peace as his father reaches the end of his life. Bless you, Lord. Amen. So, harvest. It's kind of changed to what it used to be in my youth, when we used to bring lots of goodies from the land. And my dad used to grow enormous beetroots, and we used to be very proud of the beetroots that he used to bring and put them at the front of the church. But harvest, about being thankful for what God has given us. And one of the resources on the CD that we haven't seen this morning is a video talking about the work in Hope Home and how Judy Cook and the workers there are looking after these children. But more than that, some of these kids are now fostered with local families. Local families are looking after them, and they've got some of the children into schools. They're able to support them, so they're doing so much more than they'd be able to do, because the attitude in Thailand towards people with disabilities is, it's shameful. They've done something wrong, or the family's done something wrong, or something's happened. So they're abandoned. They're not really looked after. And what BMS is doing, Judy Cook and others, is showing that God has made each and every one of us. We are all fearfully and wonderfully made, and therefore we all have a purpose, and whatever that purpose is. And they're helping these children to find their purpose, to live life to the full, and also educating the people in Thailand about a person's worth and how God sees us. But actually, one of the advantages about belonging to the wider Baptist family — we are a Baptist church, we belong to the wider Baptist family — one of the advantages of that is that we can participate in worldwide mission in a way that we couldn't as a small fellowship do. We give regularly, we give monthly to the BMS, we give just over £100. And BMS itself is working in some the most marginalised and the least evangelised people, in some of the most fragile places on earth, aiming to bring life in all its fullness. And that's through seven key ministries: through church, development, education, health, justice, leadership and relief. And as a church, we have heard from people like Paul and Sarah Brown, missionaries who we take a personal interest in. They're in Thailand too, they're in Bangkok. We've helped them buy an oven to set up a bakery so that the women that they're ministering to have a way of earning a living, giving them dignity. We've heard a little bit about Hope Home in Chai Mei in Thailand, where these children are discarded by society. They're affirmed and they're shown love and care. And in the video that we haven't seen, each of these three children, we're given a little glimpse of them. And I really hope that you feel able to give financially towards this work to enable this to carry on. As Rachel said, there are some envelopes at the back there, so if you want to take an envelope away with you, bring it back next week, or if you forget to take an envelope, just stick it in an envelope of your own and bring it back next week. You know, as people who have so much, it is our responsibility to give out of our wealth, whatever that is, to help those who don't have the same opportunities. And just thinking about people with disabilities, you know, it's so tempting to think about what they can't do and how limited they are. But in our reading in John 9, the disciples assumed that the man's blindness was due to his sin. Well, either his sin or his parents' sin. But Jesus says to them, "You're asking the wrong question. You're looking for someone to blame," he says. There's no such cause and effect here. Look instead for what God can do. Disabilities, whether they're physical, learning difficulties, mental health, disabilities that come with old age, they can cause enormous challenges both to the person or to families and to families. And it's sometimes easier to blame someone. But Jesus suggests we ask a different question. What can God do? What can God do? Well, the three children we saw on the first slide, along with the other children in Hope Home, they have an opportunity to be fostered or adopted. They're fulfilling some of their potential. They're being empowered. They're being part of a team. They're learning to laugh and smile and enjoy life. Jesus says, "I came that you might have life and have it abundantly." An abundant life is one that overflows with good things. It includes spiritual, physical, social, economic wholeness, things that actually none of us possess wholly, but which we journey to with and in Christ. So we can celebrate and give thanks for what God is doing through the children and the team in this BLS supported home. And we can take the opportunity of being part of that in our giving. But there's a bigger message here, and it's not just about how we see and respond to those with disabilities. Wasn't it great the other week when the Thursday fellowship came? They led our service. It was great listening to Anthony's beautiful voice singing "Bring Him Home." What about Colin playing the mouth organ? It's good to encourage and to really support those who have, you know, difficulties, but seeing where their gifts are and encouraging them to make use of those. You know, those of us who help lead that group are constantly challenged about our expectations, about our response both to the group and to God. But even that isn't the entirety of what God wants us to focus on this morning. For many of us, it's easier to believe that somebody else, probably everybody else, was fearfully and wonderfully made, and therefore fulfilling what God has made and called them for. Well, I believe this morning God would have us draw on the fact that each and every one of us is fearfully and wonderfully made. The psalmist said, "You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." Can I just invite you to say those words with me? I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Good. Just listen to some of the things God says about you. Psalm 17, "You are the apple of his eye. in Deuteronomy 7 verse 6, God says, "You are his treasured possession." Exodus 4 verse 10, when Moses tells God he can't possibly do what God told him to do because he was slow of speech and tongue, God says to him, "Who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and teach you what to say." Second part of this verse says, "Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." That means the way God created you, the way God created me, is wonderful because we are his works. It's just the way God wants us to be, needs us to be the person that he's created us to be, to fulfill our potential, to live life in all its fullness. Actually, to be honest, the only way we're going to feel truly alive and fulfilled is as and when we respond to all that God has for us. And I think we've been hearing that this morning, haven't we? Responding to all that God has for us and all that he is to us. You know, whilst the Israelites were still in exile, mourning for what they saw as their lost identity, God sent them a message through the prophet Jeremiah, telling them to get on with life. God had good plans for them, plans to give them a good future and a hope. Many of us aren't living life to the full because, well, things haven't gone the way we expected them to go. We haven't had the opportunities we thought we should have had. We haven't had the health we needed to do what we thought we would be doing. But God says to you, God says to me, "You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I know the plans I have for you. Plans for peace, not evil, to give you a future and hope. Never forget that." We may be thinking, well, we don't matter. You know, what we do or don't do has no bearing on God's plans for the whole world. Well, God wants you to understand you are unique. How you respond to God and his word has an amazing effect on the rest of the world. Let me tell you a true story. Edward Kimball was a Sunday school teacher who not only prayed for the hyperboys in his class, but also sought to win each one to the Lord personally. Well, one of those young men was converted, and his name was Dwight Moody. In his lifetime, Moody touched two continents for God, with thousands professing Christ through his ministry. Under Moody, another man's heart was touched for God, Wilbur Chapman. Chapman became the evangelist who preached to thousands. One day, a professional ball player had a day off and attended one of Chapman's meetings, and so Billy Sunday was converted. Sunday quit baseball and became part of Chapman's team. Then Chapman accepted the pastor at the large church, and Billy Sunday began his own evangelistic crusades. Under him, another young man was converted whose name was Mordecai Ham. He was a scholarly, dignified gentleman who wasn't above renting a hearse and parading it through the streets, advertising his meetings. When Ham reached Charlotte, North Carolina, a sandy-haired, lanky young man then in high school vowed he wouldn't go hear him preach. But Billy Frank, as he was called by his family, did eventually go. Ham announced that he knew for a fact that a house of ill repute was located across the street from a local high school, and that male students were skipping lunch to visit the house across the street. When the students decided to go to interrupt the meetings of Mordecai Ham, Billy Frank decided to go and see what would happen. That night, Billy Frank went and was intrigued by what he heard. Returning another night, he responded to the invitation and was converted. Now, these names might not mean anything to you, but Billy Frank eventually became known as Billy Graham, the evangelist who preached to more people than any person who ever lived, including the Apostle Paul. This fascinating chain of events was triggered by a Sunday school teacher's concern for his boys. I doubt whether he had the slightest idea or slightest inkling of what his concern and prayer for his boys in his Sunday school would spark. Maybe his friends told him he was wasting his time. But he responded to God and what God put in his heart. And look what transpired. You know, if we had time, I'd love to play you a VeggieTales animation. Now, VeggieTales is our kids have grown up with VeggieTales. It's vegetables and talking. Some of them are animated Bible stories, but some of them are other sort of like parable stories. But the one in particular I'm thinking of is a little snoodle. Now, a snoodle, don't ask me what a snoodle is. This is the vegetable animation. So a snoodle is something. This snoodle, he was created with a bag on his back. And inside his bag were some paints. So he thought he was going to be an artist. But the other snoodles laughed at him. And they drew horrible pictures of him and placed them in his bag. And as more pictures came in his bag, it was weighing him down. He was finding it difficult to walk. And he began to think, well, these pictures of me, they must be true. So he drew pictures of himself that were horrible, and he put those in his bag as well. And he was really struggling to move, really struggling to walk. Well, kind of long story short, he eventually meets his creator. And his creator says to him, where are all these pictures? He pulls them out of his bag, and he throws them in his fire. He said, no, I gave you your paint so that you could paint a beautiful picture for me. And then the creator gave him this great big picture of the little snoodle and said, this is who you are. This is what you look like. And he rolled it up and put it in the little snoodle's bag. And funnily enough, it wasn't heavy. It was really light. And the little snoodle, as he thought of this big picture, felt really great about himself and understood why he was created. And he ran off back down to his village with his paints and started painting pictures for his creator and started telling everybody else about who this creator was. Now, this is a lovely little story. It is a lovely little animation, but it's got a very, very important truth. God made you. God is for you. God will always be with you. God made you for a reason. And in discovering and living in the purposes of Jesus, you will live life in all its fullness. You don't have to take all the negative pictures that other people paint of you, or even that you're painting of yourself, and hold on to them and weigh you down. The only picture you need is the picture that God has of you. And that's the true picture of who you are. And I think that's what God wants us to know this morning. You are created for a purpose. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. And as you press in to know God, your Father, your Saviour, your lover, your friend, then you'll discover more and more of who He has created in you, what you are created for. And you will fly. You'll have wings. You will fly. So, this morning, I invite you to make this resolution. I'll just read it out for you. And then if you feel this is something you can say, then we'll say it together. I resolve that no more I will let people press me into their mould. No more will I put limits on my life. I'm going to be what God wants me to be. I'm going to do what God wants me to do, and I'm going to fulfill the plan that God has for my life, not somebody else's plan for my life. So, if you feel you'd like to say this, then I'm going to read it again, and you can read along with me. I resolve that no more will I let other people press me into their mold. No more will I put limits on my life.
I'm going to be what God wants me to be. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. And I'm going to fulfill the plan that God has for my life, not somebody else's plan for my life. Fearfully and wonderfully made. And how can we do that? Well, my reading this morning was Ephesians 3. And what does it say at the end of Ephesians 3? Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Just imagine what God could do. He can do more than that, because whatever you imagine, he can do more. And he can do more in your life than you can ever imagine. To him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to the power that's at work within us, we have the Holy Spirit, God's Holy Spirit. God can do so much because his Holy Spirit is living in and through us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. God wants us to know this morning that we are fearfully, wonderfully made, and that he has so much more for us, much more than we can ever imagine. He has given us his Holy Spirit. He wants us to take hold of him, to run to him, to grab hold of him, not to be satisfied with what we've got at the moment or who we are at the moment. He has so much more for us. Thank you.
Thank you.